a fallen heel. He's cool, he's fast, he's smart, he's real. If you're looking for heroes, think great.
Greetings, salutations, what it is.
God damn. Welcome everybody to another episode of Highway to Helms, episode 59, I believe. Is that right? 59 of whatever version, whatever season this is. Thanks as always for tuning in. Right out of the gate, we're going to give a shout out to Kamala. Rest in peace, James Harris, the legendary Kamala passed away just yesterday. I only met him once or twice. He's a super nice guy. I was really surprised at how country his accent was. I didn't know where he was from or anything like that. I thought he was from Uganda. All right. But, you know, no, I mean, I knew he was American. But when I went to meet him, he had a deep southern accent, you know, super friendly. We ended up talking about he used to be a truck driver. And my dad was a truck driver when I was young. So we were just talking about truck driving was what we talked about the entire time. No hurricane, no Ugandan giant talk. He was just talking about truck driving. But he was super kind and super nice. That's what I remember about him. And that's what most of the messages and comments being put out through social media. That's what everybody's talking about. It's just how nice he was and how kind he was. I love that Kamala character. Probably wouldn't go over well in today's market, you know, especially with how dissected pro wrestling is. You can have a character like that on any other show. If you have it on pro wrestling, you know, you're just going to get attacked. We just, under so many other different rules. But I love that character. It was what, and I mentioned this briefly on my Instagram post when I was talking about it, but I'm going to go into it a little deeper here, because Kamala is what got The Undertaker over for me. Now, The Undertaker, the WWF, as it was known back in the day, everybody would always have crazy gimmicks, you know, and a lot of times they were associated with different jobs. You know, you would have plumbers. It didn't matter. You know, any occupation out there. And I think somebody even coined it the occupation era. You know, Duke the Dumpster, Drosy. You would have all of these crazy. And so when The Undertaker came along, that was just kind of another one of those gimmicks to me. It was cool. I could tell right away that The Undertaker was a lot better performer than a lot of the bigger guys. He can move. He was athletic as hell. But you don't know how far these gimmicks are going to go. And a lot of them would come. They'd be around for 1 or 2 years and then they would be gone. So you don't know what to do or how to take it. But anyway, once he got into a program with Kamala, and like Kamala was never afraid of anything. Kamala was just some, you know, he was a monster. He was always in character. You know, he was uncontrollable. But anyway, Kamala was afraid of The Undertaker. I'm like shoot terrified. And there's just, and you can probably YouTube all of this stuff. It might even be on the network. I don't know how far back the network goes. It seems like it should have everything on it. But just the scenes where Kamala was freaking out, like The Undertaker would sit up and Kamala, he had these really expressive eyes and he would do the bug eyes and you're like, oh, shit. He would take off running. And like, then I just got it. Like, that's just what made The Undertaker. That's just what clicked for me when it comes to The Undertaker. I loved it. A very similar scenario with Jake the Snake and Andre the Giant. Like, Jake the Snake was always cool with the snake because everybody's afraid of it, right? But you just never envision Andre the Giant being afraid of anything. You never envision Andre running from anybody. And Jake pulled that snake out and Andre ass took off. Threw itself out of the ring one time. There's like some kind of battle royal too, I think. But there's a bunch of people in there, and Jake slid that snake in, and Andre said, fuck that. And he was gone. So that was that's the only thing I can compare it to, you know. Andre being afraid of that snake and Kamala being afraid of The Undertaker. But yeah, man, it sucks. Another legend gone. I don't think he was in the Hall of Fame. I don't know why. He damn sure should have. you know, I'm sure there was a lot of barriers he had to break through. You know, some stories. You can find interviews with him when he talks about some of the struggles he had to endure at a time in the business where people of color were hard to come by. Well, they might be hard to, I mean, they probably weren't hard to come by, but they, Kamala would tell a story how there was only allowed like one or two black people on the show, you know. So, you know, you hate to even think about stuff like that, cause, but the shit happened. It existed. I'm just glad that he was able to endure it and get through it. And maybe one day we'll be able to talk about somebody without having to mention shit like that. That would be great. But yeah, like I say, rest in peace to the legendary Kamala James Harris. Thank you for all of your years of entertainment, sir. You were awesome. Alrighty, so moving on. I hate starting out with somber stuff, but I like to get that out of the way anytime something like that happens. So I come up here to record a few hours ago, and it started thundering, because guess what? It's 2020 in North Carolina, and it has to rain. It rains 6 out of 7 days of the week here, and it's done that for like 2 months. Now, we got two ponds on the farm, and they not seem to really be rising, and I get that there's a lot of shit that I don't understand. But man, it's been raining like hell. I feel like, where is this water going? How does it all just absorb into the ground? I don't know. See how stupid I am sometimes? But literally, and I'm not even joking, at least 6 out of 7 days of the week. And there's always, I mean, it's not always just little sprinkles either. It'll be a damn monster storm. It'll come down hard. But I know it does that down in Florida too. Like when I was with TNA and we filmed Impact, about 2 o'clock every day, this fucking heavy-ass storm would come. It lasts for an hour, and then it would disappear like it never happened. Why? Why does this shit happen? I have no idea. But anyway, I watched a little UFC this past weekend. A little, actually, there was some Bellator action on too. Michael Chandler beat Benson Henderson's ass in the main event. Stopped him. Benson Henderson hadn't been stopped in a long time. I don't know if he's ever been stopped like that either. It was pretty impressive. Now Michael Chandler is a free agent. He's a champion from Bellator without a contract. He needs one of them contracts. So that was interesting. I feel like there was a UFC on too, right? Because I watched it Saturday. I like when I watch this shit. Oh yeah, Black Beast up in this hole. Black Beast with a big victory. There were a couple fights that I liked on that one. A couple duds too. You know, had some duds. But there's some really good fights on Bellator too. There was this female, and she got some attention because she beat my girl down, and then she got up, she did all this dance, you know, sexy dance or whatever. And it's just so funny that bothers some people. Like, well, I just thought that was a bit too much. Like, God, if there's any sport ever in which I think a victory celebration is due, it's that sport. It's MMA. If you're going to train that hard, you got somebody out there punching you in your face, trying to physically hurt you, and you win, I don't give a shit what you do. You're entitled to celebrate. This whole thing about, like, it's unsportsmanlike, like, man, these people, fuck that. That's what I'm saying. Fuck that. I don't care. Go, if you score a touchdown in the end zone, I don't give a shit what you do. You breakdancing the motherfucker. Clap your hands, do push-ups, whatever you want to do. I don't care. I love the celebration. I don't, like, these athletes out there beating each other to shit sometimes. And people are like, well, that's just not sportsmanlike. You're sitting on your ass being entertained by people breaking their damn bodies. Yeah, some of them make a lot of money. Some of them don't. Some of them damn MMA fighters don't make shit. There's a lot of pro wrestlers right now at home with broken bodies. Bank accounts looking slim. So, I don't know. Look at me being all judgmental. I'm being judgmental about other people's judgments. Inception when it comes to the judgments. But shit, I don't know. I just don't know. I tell you what I do know, though. I watched a couple of movies for you guys. I watched the movies so that you don't have to. And a couple of these, you shouldn't. Let me see what they are. These were all on Amazon Prime. I do got to say this. Amazon Prime be having a selection. Like Netflix, to me, it seems it's the same shit all the time. And every now and then, there'll be some new shit. But Amazon Prime, boy, they have the stuff. So the first one I watched, and this one's relatively new, is called Vivarium. Now, who is it? It's my dude that was Lex Luthor. He was Lex Luthor in the Batman vs. Superman. What the fuck's his name? I don't know. Y'all have to Google his fucking name. But anyway, him and his woman, his wife, fiance, whatever it is, they go looking to buy a house, right? And some creepy motherfucker's trying to sell him a house. Takes him to this neighborhood where every single house looks the same. Wasn't I talking about some shit like this last week? Yeah, because me and Mike's talking about how they cut down all the forests, building up these damn subdivisions, and they all look exactly the same. That's funny, I mentioned that, and then I watched this movie. That's the universe talking to me. And the universe is saying, Shane, shut the fuck up. But anyway, so all these houses look the same. They're all like fucking ugly ass green color too. And they go in the house, and the creepy guy's in there, and he's showing them the house. And then the next thing you know, they can't find him. He's gone. So they're creeped out by him anyway. So they're going to just go home, right? So they go get in a car. They're driving around. They can't get out of the neighborhood. Every time, every turn they make, whether it's right, left, go straight the entire time, they always end up back at the house that he showed them. These motherfuckers are trapped in a labyrinth of sorts. And so they go in there and they're stuck. They realize they're stuck. And then the next thing you know, a baby shows up. A baby. Like in a little box. There's a box out on the damn, out in front of the house, like a cardboard box. They go open it, motherfucking baby inside. And so now, and there's a note that says, raise him and you'll be released. Anyway, I don't want to give you the whole fucking thing. It's creepy, but it's one of these movies too that you never figure out what the fuck happened. You never figure out what is this. And when it's over, it's just over and you're like, alright, what? Where was the explanation? I don't know. I prefer explanations when these fucking scenarios happen. Like, are they in hell? Is this some demons? Is this some alien shit? What the fuck is happening here? Not just it's over. Thank you for spending 2 hours of your life with us. Motherfuckers. Anyway, so what else did we watch? Next up, I watched Midsommar. It's MIDSOMMAR. Now, the premise here is an American couple, their relationship floundering, travel to a fabled Swedish Midsommar festival where they become trapped in a sinister nightmare. Okay, so this one, we get the premise. We know what's happening. We know what this shit is. Off the title. Okay, so I get it. But this was good. This was entertaining. Some creepy ass shit was going on. There's one scene in particular was really funny. This dude was running around butt ass naked. And it's funny because I'm watching this with the Empress, who is of the female persuasion. And like, there's this scene where this guy is supposed to be having sex with this girl. And there's a bunch of older, and not necessarily elder, just older than this girl. She's about 18. So, and there's this group of women that are going to watch this this sex scene happen, right? They're watching it. And they look to be anywhere from 20 to 50, 60, whatever. But there's about 8 or 10 of them. And they're all butt-ass naked, too. All shapes and sizes. But you just got this group of naked women. And you're just watching this thing. And you can't really see the guy as much. You can only see his ass, right? But after it's over and he gets freaked out, he starts running away and you see him butt ass naked. The second we see him butt ass naked from the front, me and the Empress both just started laughing. And it's like, I was like, and I just, why do males, to me, males just look funny. We look funny. Like the women, you know, they're butt ass naked and we just, that's fine. It's no big deal. We see this dude and then he starts running around and is, you know, dang-a-lang swinging and shit. Well, just funny. It ain't fair. See, women, y'all got it made. Y'all are sexy. Men, we're not even in the best shape of our lives. Just, it looks comical. I don't know why. Is it just me? Well, it ain't just me, because the Empress started laughing too, so I don't know. But anyway, it also starred my dude, God, what was his name? He was on The Good Place. Damn, I forget his name, but he's a really good actor too. So this one wasn't bad. Vivarium, you can kind of pass on that. You know, it's creepy, and you might, if you can get something out of it that I didn't get, please tell me. I just didn't get anything out of it, so but that's up to you guys. But Midsommar, and Sommar has an O in it, so it's like Midsommar, but S-O-M-M-A-R. And maybe that means something, I don't fucking know. But anyway, so moving on to, now this was a comical documentary, but a mockumentary is what they call it, because it's a fake-ass documentary. And it's No Men Beyond This Point is the title of it. No Men Beyond This Point. And it's a mockumentary about what would happen if men started to dive. And there is some really funny shit in here, because I've talked about on this podcast before, like, I think that eventually once women wisen up, they'll just kill us. Women are going to get rid of men. Like, but they got to wait. I think they're going to have to wait till the sex robots are working good enough, because there's going to have to be some action from somebody. But I think that they're just going to end up getting rid of all the men. Why keep us around? I can't tell that we're doing any good. What are we good for? I don't know. But yeah, this one's really funny. There's a lot of funny bits in it. I would definitely give that one a watch if I were you. And so finally, the last one is, this was a 10 by 10. This came out 2018. And so this motherfucker was Dracula. Dracula, like, Untold. There was a Dracula movie that came out within the last 5 years, and it was a lot cooler than most of the Draculas that I've seen. A little bit more up to date, it seemed. And this guy was the Dracula. I feel like it was Dracula Untold or Dracula Undead or some shit. I don't fucking know. But it was a Dracula. See, I have my phone right here. I could Google this shit, but I'm not going to. I want you guys to struggle along with me. But anyway, so this guy kidnaps his lady. And then takes her to his house. He's got a room in his house that's soundproof, and he's trapped her in there. And you start to figure out why he did it. And there's layers to this one. This one actually was pretty good, you know, because it doesn't go the way you expect. And the kidnapping isn't for reasons you would expect. And so without giving too much away of the plot, I thought that was pretty good. I thought that was pretty interesting. It wasn't just the bad guy going to go kidnap a innocent damsel. It wasn't a damsel in distress movie. And when she starts fighting back, she starts kicking his ass sometimes. And they do a really good back and forth with this one. So, and that's 10 by 10. It's the number 10, little X, number 10 again. So check that out if you get a chance. I thought that was actually really pretty good too. So I know I feel like I undersold those movies again, because as I'm talking about them and thinking about them, they weren't bad. Vivarium, even though it was the weakest of those four, it did have some moments, you know, some creepy ass moments, and just to get you thinking, what would you do if you were trapped in some time loop like that, where every day was Groundhog Day, you're stuck in the same scenario. We're kind of like that shit now, but that's why everybody's going crazy. I'm damn sure about to go crazy. If I don't get out of this house soon. But anyway, so that's it as far as for like the movies that I watched. And like I said, yeah, UFC was pretty decent. Black Beast got that win. Michael Chandler getting that win, that was pretty damn cool. He seems like a badass. Maybe he'll come to the UFC, because he started tweeting right away that he can finish Conor in two. Said he can finish him in two, y'all. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, so that's it for this, and we'll be back with the Comic Slam podcast. They're free to you, but they're not free to do. 50 episodes deep of Highway to Helms, free of charge. But now more than ever, I'm going to need your support to keep this train rolling. So go to prowrestlingtees.com/ShaneHelms. Also, go to collarandelbowbrand.com/ShaneHelms. I don't want donations. I don't want handouts. I want you to get something for your money. So pick yourself up a shirt, son. You know I got the flyest gear in the game. And now it's time for the Comic Slam.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
So last week, you know, it was mainly Marvel, and we got a couple Marvel issues, a couple Marvel books this show as well, but I did mix it up a little bit. Started out with catching up on Black Hammer. This is from Dark Horse Comics. This is issue number 7. Script is Jeff Lemire. Art is Dean Ormston. If you haven't ever heard of Black Hammer, you need to jump on that. This is such a cool book. It does all these homages to, famous characters back in the day, but with a new twist on them. One of the characters in here, the main character, is Black Hammer. He's kind of an ode to Thor, which is pretty cool. Do a little spin on that and how he comes to be. Just, I love this book, you know, and every time this book pops up on my radar, I read so much, it's kind of hard to remember all what I'm reading sometimes. But every time this one pops back up on my radar, I read each issue of this like twice. That's how good it is. I read it and then I feel like I might have missed something, like something in the art, some little Easter egg, and I go back and reread it. But it is that good. And it's a Black Hammer, Dark Horse Comics. Definitely check that one out if you get a chance. If and you and get a chance. Moving over to DC Comics, this is Action Comics Superman, issue 1023. So to catch up on this story, I'm going to need you guys to go back and read 1022 issues so that you'll be up with me here. So this is the House of Kent Part 2, brought to you by Brian Michael Bendis and John Romita Jr. On the cover, you see Superman getting choked to death by this villain, this red villain that's kind of smoky-looking villain. Looks, and he goes, "There's no use fighting. The Red Cloud never loses." So obviously, this book is going to be about Superman versus the Red Cloud. So it's some cool stuff here. We got he's talking to Superboy in the beginning, still trying to figure out what the deal is with Superboy. How come Superman can't remember who he is? And this isn't Superboy that is Superman's son. This is Connor Kent, I guess. Kind of convoluted. It gets a little tricky. You got to read the book. It explains it. Brian Michael Bendis gets really wordy sometimes, but he always explains where the story's at. But there's a cool moment where Superman, Superboy, and Connor Kent, Superboy, like Superman's son, is John, right? Is that his fucking name? Yeah, John, J-O-N. So him and whoever, and Connor, so Superman, Superboy, and Connor are all in Kansas. They hear Lois screaming, or Superman does. They all take off in the air. Anyway, it's a cool moment of seeing all three of them together. They show up, they wreck shop, kick some ass. But the Red Cloud isn't that easily defeated. The Red Cloud is going after Jimmy Olsen for some reason. Wants to take him down. And then they end up, there's something going on with the mafia here in Metropolis. And, of course, Lex Luthor is involved, and Leviathan and Star Labs. There's all kind of shit going on in this book. But it's really well done. So this is Superman in this book, you know, with this good little with his ensemble cast. Is doing really good. So now moving on to a new gem, one of the gems of the week, also from DC Comics. This was Justice League Dark, issue number 24. And this on the cover, you see Zatanna, and she's got like some kind of piece of paper that's on fire. But anyway, it says Zatanna will resurrect her father no matter the cost. See, I like that. On the cover, it tells you what's going on in this book. You don't need a lot of explanation. Once you see that cover and you read that, you know what's happening. I appreciated that. You know, you don't see that too much. This writer is Ram, last name V. That's just a motherfucker's name. You know, I'm all the time complaining about these names that I can't pronounce. This motherfucker right here fixed it. My last name is V. Or maybe he's Ram the Fifth. Maybe it's a fucking android. I don't know what's happening with this guy. I don't even know if it is a guy. I just assumed it is a guy. Could be wrong. Could be a her. Could be a whatever. I don't know. The artist is Amancy. See, here's an artist with a name I can't fucking pronounce, but that's what it is. But the art is fantastic. This book was really, really fun. Wonder Woman is leading Justice League Dark. I like Wonder Woman in Justice League Dark a lot better than I like her in Justice League for some reason. I don't know. Maybe just because she's the leader here. She's running fucking things. You got Detective Chimp. Y'all know I love Detective Chimp. Detective Chimp is the man. Well, he's a monkey, but, you know, whatever. So anyway, there's a lot of good back and forth with Detective Chimp talking to Wonder Woman. We get some good dialogue there, explaining to Wonder Woman all the problems that the members of the Justice League Dark are having, including Zatanna and her struggles about not finding her father. We get the only thing in the book that I never have liked Man Bat. There's a character named Man Bat, and I feel like he's DC's answer to the Lizard. I guess he's this doctor that got turned into a fucking half man, half bat shit. I don't know. But he was written pretty well in this issue. You know, I know he's in the Terrifics book is where I see him, and I can't fucking stand him in the Terrifics. Because fuck a man bat is what I'm saying. But in this book, he was doing pretty well. And also, we get some scenes with Dr. Fate, with the new Dr. Fate and the old Dr. Fate having a conversation. The new Dr. Fate's name is Khalid, Khalid, who from this point on shall be known as the Great Khalid. See what I did there? But there's some very cool things. Anytime that Helmet of Fate is in a book, I just love it. I love the Dr. Fate character and the fact that this helmet is always more than it seems. You know, I love that. So there's a good scene with the old school Dr. Fate hugging the Great Khalid, and you can see their reflection off the Helmet of Fate, and that was just super well done. So then we got Detective Chimp. Zatanna's going to find her father, who is on fire. I don't know why, but the motherfucker's on fire. He's trapped in hell or something like that. I haven't read a lot of Justice League Dark in this particular this run. This is issue what again? This is issue 24, but from 24 on, I'm on board. You know, like I said, I love all these characters. I especially love this issue, the way it was written. And so I'm on board for that. So great job. You got a new fan. Marvel Comics 21, Daredevil is where we're going next. Chip Zdarsky is the writer. Artist is Marco Cicchetto. This continues a really great run. This book isn't as much action as the last two issues were, which it would be hard to outdo the action of the last two. But I'm super on board for this book. They do this cool thing with Daredevil here. They do it sometimes. They don't do it all the time in his books, but where you can see how he sees because he's blind, but he's got the fucking radar or whatever. So he kind of looks like how the Predator would look. The Predator in the old school Predator Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. So I like whenever they do that. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know why. It doesn't have anything to fucking do with the book, but I do like it. Spider-Man shows up. Spider-Man's trying to talk shit to Daredevil in this one. And here's the thing that's weird, because sometimes in the book, Spider-Man is real young. Like, he's a young-ass punk. And then sometimes, like here, he's supposed to be a grown-ass man. See? So, they need to get on board. Is he a young Spider-Man? Oh, I don't know what the fuck's happening here. But, you know, Daredevil has turned himself in. I guess because somebody accidentally got killed and it's his fault. And I guess this was before I jumped back on the book. But because of the laws in America regarding superheroes in the Marvel Universe, they're going to let him be tried as Daredevil. He's not going to have to be tried as Matt Murdock. So he's not going to have to expose his secret identity, which is going to be interesting to see how they handle that going forward. But Daredevil continues to be fucking awesome. I dig it. All right, another Marvel book. I know I said, you know, I said they're not all going to be Marvel, but they're going to be some. Marvel just puts out the most books. So this is Marvel Empire Avengers 1. This is continued the Empire storyline. Who is this by? Fuck, I don't even know. Zub. Somebody named Zub something or another. It says Zub and Mango. Anyway. So this has got to do with the Empire storyline. Of course, the Krees and the Skrulls have teamed up to take on the plant people, the Kotati, or however the fuck you pronounce it. And it's good, but it's funny because they got a lineup of the Avengers in the beginning. You know, and it's Black Panther, it's Scarlet Witch, it's Brother Voodoo, who's now known as Dr. Voodoo. So he was Brother Voodoo forever, now he's Dr. Voodoo. So I can only assume that he went to Voodoo College and got his doctorate. That's what I guess happened. I don't know when the fuck that happened. But you got Vision, Iron Man, and then you got Khazar. You know, I know I rag on Khazar all the time because he is a Jabba Tarzan, but he still is a Jabba Tarzan. But we figure out pretty quickly why he's in the book, because they end up going to the Savage Land, and there we are. But we get an appearance by Quicksilver, not bad, and Wonder Man. Wonder Man is one of my favorite characters. And he's my favorite because us comic nerds, we always come up with our own stories of things that we would do with our favorite characters, storyline wise. And I feel like Wonder Man could run the damn world, but they don't always write him as such. And now in this book, he's a pacifist, which means I guess he don't want to fight people. So he doesn't hit the villains. He just breaks the weapons apart and shit like that. That's fucking stupid. I want Wonder Man to kick some ass. I almost called him Wonder Woman. I want him to kick some damn ass. Mockingbird's in here too. Her outfit is cool as shit. And so then at the end, when we end up in the Savage Land, which is where Khazar's from, which is why he's in the fucking book, I guess. There's a big, gigantic version of the Man Thing, who I guess the plant people have somehow, I don't know, brainwashed the motherfucker, and he's on their side. And that's kind of the big reveal at the end. And so I guess going forward, that's what we're going to have. But that was okay. You know, it wasn't insane, but it was good. I'm not crazy about Khazar, so I don't like fucking reading about him. But you got to read all these books to keep up with this Empire story. And here's another one, Empire X-Men. All right, this one's by Jonathan Hickman is the writer on this, and who's the pencils? I can't even fucking tell. Who's the pencils? Matteo Buffagani. So it's Jonathan Hickman and Tiny Howard are the writers, and Matteo Buffagani, I don't fucking know, are the artists. This book was a place filler. That's all this book is. I don't give a shit. There's nothing in here to really care about, nothing to really stick your teeth into. There's something, I mean, it starts out strong with the Scarlet Witch talking to Doctor Strange about all the things she's done. If you remember, she ended up killing a damn million mutants. And I guess that some of them are being brought back, but then it turns into there's a bunch of mutants on Genosha. Genosha is the mutant island, and they've come back. They're like zombies, so it's mutant zombies fighting these fucking plant people. And even for comics, that sounds fucking stupid. You know, so this book, I don't know. If you have to skip a book this week, that would be the one of all the ones I'm talking about. So I hate to be like that. I hate to be that guy. But I am. So moving on to Dynamite Comics, The Green Hornet number one. This is from Dynamite Comics. I don't think I've ever fucking read a Green Hornet comic until today. This is written by Scott Lobdell. Pencils and colors by Anthony Marcos? Marks? Fuck, I don't know. But this is good. You know, like I said, I don't know a lot about the Green Hornet. Or Kato, his sidekick. Other than he was played by Bruce Lee back in the day. But this is a good story. Very old school feel. Old school art. There's a bit of a he does some jabs in here. When the Green Hornet is talking about himself, and he goes, I wish I had some kind of secret origin instigated by some horrible personal loss. Jab at Batman. Maybe I was bitten by a radioactive Green Hornet. Jab at Spider-Man. Or I'm part of some intergalactic police force and I've been assigned to Sector Earth. Jab at the Green Lantern. Nope. I'm just a rich guy with a lot of resources trying to do right by people who've been done wrong. So you kind of get it. Okay, the Green, he's just a cool guy. And he's fighting crime anyway. One of the secretaries in he owns a newspaper or some shit like that. He's not like Clark Kent, who works for the newspaper. He owns the motherfucker. And at the end, it looks like there's some kind of space alien or some shit coming down, and he's going to have to deal with that. But I'm on board for this book. They got me. They got me with issue one, which is what an issue one is supposed to do. Explain the character and get me excited about future issues. Boom. Mission accomplished. Green Hornet from Dynamite Comics. Bam! So moving on to this next book is called Hotel. It's Hotell. And it's like a hotel, like a, that you would see on the side of the road, like not necessarily the, you know, not the nice hotels. It kind of like a Jimmy hotel. And so anyway, the O and the T are blacked out. So it actually says hell. And this is a horror book. Believe it or not. John Lees is the writer. The artist is Dalibor Talajak. There's just something as far as artists and comics that they must have unpronounceable names. That's just how it is. You guys have been listening to this show for weeks. I'm not stupid. I know how to read. All of these names are just insane. Where's Ram V? I need him back. So this is good. A husband and a wife sneaking away. They end up at this hotel. Bad things starts to happen. The husband puts the murder on the wife. He puts the murder on her, y'all. And I don't mean in a good way. I mean, this motherfucker legit murdered her. Chopped her ass up in little pieces. Put her in a suitcase. And then he went through out in this swamp behind the hotel. Right? So he goes back to the hotel. He thinks he's smooth. Right? He thinks he got away clean. He gets back to the hotel. And there she is. All put back together. Like nothing ever happened. And it gets worse from there. That's the premise. But it's really good. There's some gruesome ass art in here. Gruesome. Like I say, it's a horror book. It's got that Twilight Zone vibe and it's super well done. You know, I'm amazed at the quality. I just hiccup there, by the way. I'm not drinking, but I do get a hiccup every now and then. I'm amazed at the quality of horror comics these days. Cause I read a couple when I was younger and they all just seemed corny to me. Like, but this, you know, Ice Cream Man, which y'all know I love to death. And these could be a TV series. These could definitely, without a doubt, be a HBO, damn, Netflix something, a TV show. This shit is just waiting to happen. All the dumb shit that's on TV now. And you got quality shit like this, just sitting there waiting to be made. What's the problem is? So anyway, I'm going to finish this up. I'm going to finish up this comic slam with The Resistance. The Resistance is from AWA Comics. And this is issue number 3 of 6, brought to you by J. Michael Straczynski, one of my favorite writers, and one of my favorite artists, Mike Deodato Jr. And so this book has taken a turn. So initially in the first issue, there's this disease, this plague that hits the earth. It wipes out like 400 million people. And you kind of figure out, okay, this is going to be a plague story. We don't know where it's going. Is it, you know, what's going forward? Where it's going with that, you know, but it's going to start as a plague story. But then it turns out in issue 2 that some of the people that recover or that, you know, that had the virus but didn't die, some of them are developing superpowers. All right. Now there's a whole lot of motherfuckers with superpowers, way too many. You know, way too many people with superpowers. So the government's intervening because they want these people to be controlled. You can't just have people that can, you know, do all these crazy things running around. Is how the government views it. And that was kind of issue 2, setting that up. In issue 3, we get this kid, this younger guy, looks to be in his early 20s, and he's going to this company, and this is a company that apparently books superheroes, and it designs them, gives them a costume, gives them the name. They turned up, they're like a ad agency or a marketing program, you know, to book these superheroes at like, you know, grand openings of banks or shit like that, you know. But this guy, he wants to be a legit superhero. He doesn't want this shit. And so that's kind of where the story is going now, it seems, because the government are trying to control all the superheroes or anybody that has powers. And so what I'm guessing is there's going to be an underground resistance of people. Which is where the name came from. I'm guessing that are going to be against the government, that they have powers and they're not going to be controlled or bossed around by the government. But anyway, this book is really fucking good. Art is fantastic. Mike Deodato Jr. is just incredible. J. Michael Straczynski. This has a bit of Rising Stars element to it, which I think is pretty cool as far as, you know, all these people just getting these powers. Without some crazy bitten by a radioactive spider background, you know what I mean? But anyway, that book is really well done. So Once again, let's run through it all. You know, we got the two Empire books, Avengers and X-Men. If you have to skip those books, fine. You're not going to be missing that much. They happened. It is what it is. But Black Hammer, must read. That shit is a must read. Action Comics, Superman, that's not bad at all, you know. Not bad. It's not must read, but it's not bad. Justice League Dark, that's must read. They got me on board with that. Daredevil is must read. They got me with that. Hotel, I think Hotel is fabulous. This is only a 4-issue series, so nice, easy read. We're on issue 2 now, so for me, to you, that's definitely a must read. I think The Green Hornet is must read. And The Resistance, must read. So we got some really good ones this week. So yeah, there we are. And that's it. That's it for the Comic Slam this week. I'd like to give a shout out to Epic Comics, as always, out of Orlando, for being the hookup. Holla. Holla if you hear me. And Song of the Week brought to you by GOI Kicks. Follow them on Instagram and Twitter. And I'm glad you guys liked my singing last week from Kenny Rogers. That was, I got as much feedback about my singing, my rendition of The Gambler as anything I've gotten on this fucking podcast. So that was good times. Make sure you go pick up a shirt or a mask from Pro Wrestling Tees or Carla Nimble Brand. Support the podcast. We got to keep this train rolling. And thank you all for traveling with me once again on the highway to Helms.
Heat it up, girl. Heat it up, get it up, keep it up there. Heat it up, get it up, keep it up.